Okay, so we'll try to learn the Medrash at the end of Parsha Mem Beis. Now, this is the background over here in the Chumash, and maybe we'll cut in a little Midrash, is that there were four mighty kings in the area of what we would call in history Mesopotamia. And they waged a war against five kings, and they crushed those five kings. One of them was the king of Sodom, was among the defeated parties. And when they went into Sodom, they pillaged Sodom, and they also took Lot as a prisoner at that time. Now, other Midrashim suggest that they might have thought that Lot was Avraham Avinu, because they looked similar, that Rashi brings in another part of Lech Lecha, that Lot looked like Avraham Avinu. So they didn't check his fingerprints, I guess, or his dental records, and they just assumed that Avraham Avinu and took him. Now, the truth of the matter is, the Medrash does say over here, we're not going to see it today, it's in a previous Medrash, but the Medrash says the war was waged against Avraham Avinu's teachings, that he had popularized, as we know, monotheism. They wanted to show they don't want that. They don't want society to be the way Avraham Avinu believes it should be. They don't believe in kindness. And they were waging a war to try to undermine the areas where Avraham Avinu had some influence. That's a previous Midrash. We won't see the entire Midrash. But it says here, Omar Ravacha lebo lizdaveg ela b'seich gal galeno shaloylam. They came basically to join up and to gang up against the eyeball or the apple of the eye of the world. And they wanted to blind an eye that believed in justice. That's a previous Midrash, but I'm not going to go there now. Here we're going to talk about the refugee, Hapolit. Normally the word is a refugee. Avraham Avinu didn't have CNN, and he didn't hear about the big war, and he didn't hear about Lot's capture. They probably did not have any serious contact during that period of time. So a man who was a refugee from the war, and he ran away and he told Avraham Avinu that Lot was captured. Now we're going to learn about who this refugee is. I'm sure some are familiar already from Rashi and Chumash. We'll see what the Midrash says. So Reish Lakish b'shem Bar Kappara, says the Midrash. Reish Lakish said in the name of Bar Kappara, Hu Og Hu Polit. Og, Melech HaBoshan, who was not yet Melech HaBoshan, but he was Og, is the Polit. Some say it means his real name was Polit, and he was later called Og. And we'll find out why. V'loma nikra shmo Og. Why was he called Og? The reason is, Shebo u'motza Avram yoshev v'osek b'mitzvah sugos. He came, as we know, we should know from the Haggadah, this night was Pesach night, that Avraham Avinu went, and he went for the first half of the night, and he destroyed the enemy later on. We won't get that far, but we know that that's what happened. And Rashi there brings that's the first part of the night, and the second part of the night is preserved for Mitzrayim. So it was the night of Egypt. You say it in the Haggadah, the first night. That's about Avraham Avinu. That Hashem brought victory to the Ger Tzedek, to Avraham Avinu, at the middle of when the night split. So anyway, Avraham Avinu was, even before Pesach occurred, he knew that the mitzvahs are there, that there has to be the time of eating matzah was the night of Pesach. So he was in the mitzvah of eating something that was round. The matzah was before machine matzahs. All the matzahs were round. So that's how Og found him. Now, Og, it says in the Marzav here, he had an agenda. he wanted people to think he's coming to learn from Avraham Avinu how to eat matzah, how to fulfill the mitzvah, maybe how to lean over. But the truth is, he had a devious plot in mind, as we will learn soon. So Og came and he finds Avraham Avinu busy with the mitzvah of matzah. And by the way, if one wonders what's the relevance of matzah pre-Mitzrayim, so the truth of the matter is there are hidden secrets in that. And there's this, the Ibn Ezra in Chumash, on a pasuk we recite every day after we put on our tefillin, Ba'avur zeh osa Hashem li b'tzeisi mi Mitzrayim. Because of this, the son asks, what are you doing the mitzvahs? So you say, because of this, meaning because of tonight's program at the Seder, because of the mitzvahs Hashem did unto me when he took me out of Mitzrayim. So the Ibn Ezra asks what should have been an obvious question. It should have said, Zeh ba'avur, these mitzvahs are because God took me out, not because of these mitzvahs God took me out. So the Ibn Ezra says that these mitzvahs were meant to be at that time. The way they became manifest as obligations was via the night of Mitzrayim. But it's obvious Avraham Avinu knew the significance of the night and that there had to be matzahs. Then later on, when Yitzchak was born also, even Lot made matzahs at that time. So that's something we should know. However, Og did what was a mitzvah. He let Avraham Avinu know the situation with Lot. However, his intentions were not so good. He didn't come to learn halacha by Avraham Avinu, to learn the halachas of matzah. Hu lo niskaven l'shem shamayim, says the Midrash. His direction, his intention, his focus was not for the sake of heaven. Ella rather, Omar, he said like this. I guess Og was privy to who the important people of his time were and how they react. So he said, Avram ze kunyon hu. This Avram is a kunyon. Now what is a kunyon? So the Mefarshim say it means he is zealous, but zealous like a hothead. He's going to hear they waged war and took his nephew into captivity. Avram Avinu is going to get up without a game plan and he's going to go and fight. So va'achshav, and now says Og, this is my game plan. Avram is a hothead. So now, ani yomer lo, I'm going to tell him, nishba ben achicha, your nephew was taken into captivity in the war. Avram Avinu isn't going to sit and clarify the facts. I mean, he probably didn't need to. He probably had Ruach HaKodesh to know. But what's Og's thinking? V'hu yotzei la milchoma v'nerag. He's going out to war and he's going to get killed. Vani notel Sarai ishto. I will take his wife Sarai. You know, I wouldn't take her as a married woman. I'm too religious for that, too moral for that. But let him get killed in war and then I will take his wife.
Question, though, there's a reference to Avraham, but a reference to Sarai.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you want, you can also ask the line before that. It says Avram. But so you have to know how exact the Midrashim are in that, because they do fluctuate at this point. Sometimes it'll say Avram, sometimes Sarai, sometimes Sarah. I really can't give you one answer that might cut through everything. I don't know if there is an answer. But anyway, so on one hand, Og did a good thing. He wanted to tell Avraham Avinu about Lot, that Lot was in trouble, and he knew Avraham Avinu was going to try to rescue him. But his intention with the mitzvah was not a good intention. He did not have good intentions. So, and something good came out of this. And that's how the Yefei Tohar explains what the good thing that came out of it is that Avraham Avinu became great through Og. Og had one agenda. Avraham Avinu went. He was a kunyon that he went out to battle. although we'll see if he initially intended a battle, but he went out to battle against the four kings almost single-handedly, which is a matter of Midrash we won't get to today. But on one hand, Og did a great thing. He tipped off Avram Avinu, and Avram's greatness became even more known. He took on the four mightiest kings of that time, almost single-handedly.
The four kings he took on?
Yeah.
Not the five.
No, not the five lost. He went, he rescued the five, or at least he rescued their empires. He rescued the king of stone, but the four mighty kings who defeated the five, that's who he went up against. So Omer le HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Hashem said to Og, whether it means Og heard it or not, or it was concerning Og, I really don't know. But Hashem said, Chayecha, in your life, I swear in your life, Og, Chay Sechar Psiosecha Atonotel, you will have reward for the steps that you took from the war zone to tell Avram Avinu, or Avram Avinu, about Lot. You will be rewarded. You did a great thing bringing Avram Avinu, or you, by doing what was needed to being the catalyst to bringing Avram Avinu to greatness, or to greater greatness. So therefore, Sha'at Mayrich Yomim Ba'olam. You're going to live a long time, as it is. Og predates the Mapul, so that he's already around for a long time, but he's going to be around that much longer. He's going to be around for well over 400 years. You're going to be around maybe close to 500 years, in addition to the above. However, and here the Mefarshim explain, when a mitzvah is accomplished, it's good. Even if one was rotten evil when he did the mitzvah and his intentions were rotten and were evil, there is good that comes out and some schar is there. However, since the intentions of the person were not proper, then the reward is impaired, it's limited. And as a result, what happens is some reward he'll get, but not the rest of the reward. But some of his reward is going to be a little bit of agony. It's going to show the opposite of what he intended to do, as we will see. Val shechashavta l'arigas hatzadik, you intended to have the tzadik Avram Avinu killed. Chayecha, I swear, sha'atarowe elef alofim veribe revovos mibnevonov. You're going to see thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of his descendants. Only six generations later, Avram was generation 20. That generation was generation 26. At least Matan Torah was 26. Maybe you want to count the end of that period as 27. I don't know. But several generations later, there are going to be hordes and multitudes of Jews in the millions. So you're going to see, you wanted Avram Avinu dead. Look what happened instead. Avram Avinu is alive through a nation that emerged from him. So that's a bit of an agony. You're living a long life, but you're not exactly watching the movie that you want to watch. So ve'ein sofo shaloysa ha'ishlipo lelabiyodon. The end of that person, the end of Og, is that he's going to fall. But, and it means only in their hands. So I extrapolate from that, that a man like Og, mighty as he would be, is going to come to an end in his life. But that end could have been manifest with cardiac arrest. It could have been manifest with a cancer. It could have been manifest in a war with some other person. Or it could have been an accident. He could have tripped over a mountain and broken his neck. He was such a giant. Anything could have happened. But it was only in the hands of the descendants of Avram Avinu that he died. You wanted Avram dead, you're going to die through his descendants. It's kind of justice. Shenemar, and he brings a posuk, which is interesting how he brings this posuk. Rashi in Chumash and in other chazals brings it in a different way. Vayomer Hashem Eli, Moshe Rabbeinu is reporting in Devarim, which is kind of funny. Why? That's the review. In at the end of Parshas Balak, you have it that Hashem said to Moshe, the first place he said the exact same thing, Vayomer Hashem Elov, Al Tiro Oso, Hashem said to him, or in this case, to me, says Moshe, don't fear Og. Ki biyotcha nasati yosei veskolamoi veskolar vesartso, I vesamo vesartso rather, because in your hands I gave him and his nation and his land. He's going to die. Don't be afraid. So over here, the Midrash understands that don't fear him means that he's in your hands. Now maybe it's not quite a contradiction to another Chazal, but it's saying that in your hands I gave him, and here one of the Mefarshim says it means he was already given over in your hands from the time of Avraham Avinu. Therefore you have nothing to fear. But what the Midrash doesn't tell us, which could be is a different Midrash, and I don't know, maybe this Midrash does not disagree with it, is in Rashi and Chumash too, that Moshe Rabbeinu had to be told by God, don't fear him, because he was afraid. Now, why was he afraid? And here you might find here a bit of a conflict. So Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid, says the Rashi in Chumash from a different Chazal, that maybe the merit of Og coming and telling Avraham Avinu, Vetembeistein, it will stand for him, it will help him, and maybe he'll be successful against Moshe and not the other way around. So Moshe was in awe, he was in fear. Maybe Og has a good record. So Hashem had to say no. What you think is a schus for him is really his downfall. So I have to mention here from my Rebbe, Hagoyin Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, I heard from him a number of times, and I believe it's in his Sichas Musar as well, although I heard it, most of them orally. But this I heard a number of times. He asked the question, why should Moshe Rabbeinu be concerned with Og's merit? Og's agenda was rotten. He wanted Avraham Avinu killed. Why would you feel good toward Og and say, maybe there's Hakara Satov, maybe there's some gratitude owed Og because he told Avraham Avinu when his whole agenda was corrupt? He wanted Avraham Avinu killed. So Reb Chaim extrapolated from that, and he had other sources as well. Mezet Derfun, he said, we see from that, that if good came out from someone, even if his intention was negative, we have to feel a degree of gratitude toward the person. That's what he said is Hakora Satov. Hakora Satov is Mechayiv. Gratitude obligates that even if one did not intend good to come out, but good came out of it anyway, we have to be makir tov. We have to say there is a merit, there is some substance here. That's what he that's right. That's true. Very good. That's a good point. Yes.
Is the flip side also true that if someone has bad intentions but doesn't cause harm, there's also a grudge to be held? Well,
it depends on the circumstance. It depends on the circumstance. Sometimes we are allowed to hold a grudge, although generally we shouldn't hold a grudge. But, okay. Now, let's see, where are we? Yeah. So that's one element of this medrash. That who Og was, why he was called Og, what his agenda was, and what it resulted in. Now we come to the next part of the pasuk in the midrash. Says, "Vayaged la'Avram ha'Ivri," that the Polit, the refugee, told Avram Avinu. So there are three versions here. Vayov, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemya, and Rabbanan all say about what is the term Ivri And you might ask, why is that term invoked over here? Could be that those are the problems. Obviously, what Ivri means, we're going to see. But it could be the Midrash wants to know, why is that term used over here, of all places? So Rabbi Yehuda tells us, it's what others, if we would misuse what he says, would say Avram Avinu was an Ivri, means he was a maverick. Kol ha'olam kulei me'ever echad v'hu me'ever acher, or echad. The whole world was on one side, and he was on another. He stood up against the world. The world wanted to reject monotheism, and Avraham Avinu was ready to give up everything and put everything at stake to promulgate and promote monotheism and the way of life that monotheism obligates. So he was up against the whole world. According to the Matnas Kuna, it means he was equal to the whole world. So he has a little bit of a different pshat than what I said. Not that he was up against the world. They would, if you would put them on one side, like on a scale, and Avraham Avinu on another, he was the equivalent of the entire world at his time, which would include perhaps even those who were influenced by him, or the individuals, as I mentioned yesterday from the Rambam, who did believe in God all the time, but just weren't able to spread the word the way Avraham Avinu was. It's the first one so far. That's right. So I said two pshatim in that.
Is he arguing, meaning he doesn't like the lesson that the first chapter of Avinu was distant from something? According to the second chapter, you don't have to say that. It just means that he was equal in greatness.
That's right.
So according to that pshat, is he not like the first one because of the idea of Avinu separating himself?
Well, what I said now in my explanation in Matnas Kuna, I kind of covered that. I said that this would include even the people that were individuals who believed in Hashem. There were individuals who believed in it but didn't spread it the way Avraham Avinu did. We mentioned that yesterday. And it would mean those who were influenced by him. So according to what I'm saying, we're not talking even from people that he had to separate himself from. Even those that identified with Avraham, he was still equal to all of them. Yeah, that's how I explained it. Yeah. Rabbi Nechemia says, Ivri means Shehum ibn Avon of Shalever. He is a descendant of Aver, who was one a descendant of Shem. There were Shem and Aver, and there were three different branches that branched out from Noach. There were Shem, Chom, and Yefes, all had nations, we learned in last week's Parsha, that emanated from Noach. So he was from Aver, who was from Shem, and that's why he's called Ivri. Which means, and Aver himself was a great tzaddik, so as much as Aver had many descendants, the one that really took after Aver, who emulated him, was Avram, so he was called Ivri. That's what comes out. So here, where he's going to stand up for what he believes in, this is the time to call him an Ivri. V'rabbonin Amri, the Rabbonin say, Shehu me'ever hanar, v'shehu Mashiach b'lashon Ivri. Now, what does this mean? What this means is that he is from across the river. He's from the other side of the river, across the Euphrates. Now, no one then realized God. They worshipped other so-called deities, the stars, the zodiac. Only Avraham Avinu was the one who recognized Hashem. And he alone was the one who was in this world that served Hashem. and so that's why he is known as Ivri. Now, do these explanations show why he's called Ivri over here? So the first one could say that in a way, he was Ivri here. He's going to stand up alone against the four mightiest kings. So he's a person who either, the way I said it is, he's distanced from the rest of the world. He's not afraid. Or he's the equal of the world, so he knew he could go ahead and go after the four kings. Then the second pshat, you could say, he's a descendant of Aver and showed the righteousness. And he understood the battle of the four kings was to challenge his principles. So he had to get up and go and fight. And then also that he's from the other river and he's the anointed one in Ivri, in the language of Ivri. So in that language, he's the anointed one. He also, again, had to go up and battle. Still have a minute or two. Then it said he dwelled in Elone Mamre. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya say Elone either means Meshraya the Mamre, in the plain lands of Mamre, or Rabbi Nechemya says Befaltin the Mamre, in the palatsin and in the palaces of Mamre. Now, what difference does that make? That we have to know. So Al Daite de Rabbi Yehuda means Asrahu Dishmei Mamre. It wasn't the man Mamre, it was a place called Mamre Township. And according to Rabbi Nechemya, it's referring to the person Mamre, Gavrahu Dishmei Mamre. His name is Mamre. Now, what is the significance of the name Mamre? Mamre means rebelliousness. And so he's going to say it in a positive way. Mamre was from the Balei Bris of Avram. So Mamre isn't a negative connotation. So Rabbi Azariah, in the name of Rabbi Yehud, in the name of Rabbi Shimon, says, Shehimra ponim ba'Avram. What he did was he showed some brazenness to Avram Avinu. But not a bad brazenness. We'll see, it's a good brazenness. He encouraged Avram to do the brazen thing. That Bisho Shomar Kodesh Baruch Hu Avram Limol, when Hashem told Avram Avinu, go make a bris, so Holach V'Nimlach B'Gimel O'Yavav. He went, he consulted his friends. He only consulted them, the Meforshim say, as to whether or not he should do it publicly, because God told him to do it, he's got to do it. Does that mean in a public platform or not? So the three brothers, Oner, Eshkol, and Mamre, were Avram Avinu, had a covenant. They were Balei Bris Avram. So he wanted to consult them to know how to go about doing the bris. So Oner told him, you're already, we'll just say this quickly, you're already 100 years old, and you're going to go inconvenience yourself, which the Yifei Toyar says it means Oner is saying, the bris is meant for your children, not for you. You're kind of like over the hill as far as a bris is concerned. Then Eshkol said, what do you have to do it? You have enemies, which means do it in private. Mamre, though, said, no. He said your God was there for you in the furnace. He helped you stand up against the four kings. He helped you when there was a famine. And now you're not going to listen when he says to do a bris. God always had miracles with you that were public. He probably wants you to do the bris in public. So Hashem said, since you gave an advice to do the bris, so Hashem swears, I will not appear to Avram Avinu in Aner's palace, not in Eshkol's palace, only in your palace, which is at the beginning of Vayera. Here it quotes that it says, Vayera Elov Hashem be'Elone Mamre. Hashem appeared to Avram at Elone Mamre. And there's a Rashi, I think, hints to this Medrash. I once said that at a bris. Rashi with one extra word over there. The Rashi says in Vayera be'Elone Mamre, he says, Hu Shenosan Lo Eitza Al Hamila. He is the one that gave him advice for the Mila, Lefichach Nigla Olaf Bechalko. Therefore, Hashem appeared to Avram in the Chelik, in the palace of Mamre, which is this Midrash. But I once asked, you don't need the word who. Elone Mamre, Shenosan Lo Eitza Ala Mila. With Rashi, every word means something. The Elone Mamre, that he gave him advice on the Mila. We know it's about Mamre. What's the who? Why do I need that extra third person pronoun? Who? He that gave him advice. So I said, who is always meant to exclude. You learn through Chumash, through Chazal, even in Rashi's language, when you use the word who, that's to exclude. So he's referring to this Midrash. He gave him the advice, but not on Eren Eshkol. So therefore, it was Niglal of Bechalkoi. Not the other two brothers. They didn't give him advice to do what he did. Oner and Eshkol. Oner said, you're too old, it doesn't mean you. It means your kids. Eshkol said, not in public. And Mamre said, you and in public. Because God performed miracles with you, he can pull it off with a 100-year-old person, and he can pull it off in public. So he gave him the advice, but the other, that's the who. But the other two did not.